Hello and welcome to Palace Intrigue. I am your host, Mark Francis. And now a message from Her Majesty the Queen. When it comes to how to mark 70 years as your Queen, there is no guidebook to follow. It really is a first. But I have been humbled and deeply touched that so many people have taken to the streets to celebrate my Platinum Jubilee. While I may not have attended every event in person, my heart has been with you all, and I remain committed to serving you to the best of my ability, supported by my family. I have been inspired by the kindness, joy, and kinship that has been so evident in recent days, and I hope this renewed sense of togetherness will be felt for many years to come. I thank you most sincerely for your good wishes and for the part you have played in these happy celebrations. The Queen did wind up making an appearance on the balcony on Sunday. People describes the scene. After the royal standard was raised at Buckingham Palace, signalling the Queen had arrived, the monarch, 96, stepped out onto the balcony and took in the celebratory atmosphere. She was joined by Prince Charles, Camilla, Duchess of Cornwall, Prince William, Kate Middleton and their children, Prince George, Princess Charlotte and Prince Louis, in a special moment that represented the future of the monarchy. The national anthem, God Save the Queen, played as the family sang along. Red, white and blue fireworks went off as George looked up at his great-granny and she looked back at him fondly. The Queen did not make the concert on Saturday night, but in many ways stole the show. In a pre-recorded sketch, the Queen and Paddington Bear sat down at the palace for a cup of afternoon tea. The Washington Post described it as all very posh, white tablecloth and all, but things quickly go wrong for the accident-prone bear. A teapot goes flying and a dessert is splattered on a butler's face. The bear then says to the Queen, "Perhaps you'd like a marmalade sandwich. I always keep one for emergencies." "So do I," confides the Queen, who then opens her black handbag. "I keep mine in here," she says. And she lifts a sandwich out of her bag, adding, "For later." They ended the skit by tapping the intro to We Will Rock You with their spoons on china teacups, which kicked off the live concert that featured the band Queen playing the same song. The palace said in a statement, "Her Majesty is well known for her sense of humour, so it should be no surprise that she decided to take part in tonight's sketch. There was an interest in the filming and animation process, and the opportunity to invite a famous bear to tea was just too much fun to miss." Prince Charles even referenced the sketch in a callback. He began his speech with, "Your Majesty, Mummy." He delivered the same introduction of the Queen's Golden and Diamond Jubilees, celebrating 50 and 60 years on the throne, respectively. Charles said his mother had immense regret that she was not at the concert in person, but he said she was watching these celebrations with much emotion, having, I hope, finished her marmalade sandwich. He then urged the crowd to make some noise. "Windsor Castle is barely 20 miles away, so if we cheer loudly enough, she might just hear us. So let's all join together," the crowd roared. Charles added, "You pledged to serve your whole life. You continue to deliver. That is why we are here. That is what we celebrate tonight." Palace Intrigue will be right back. It appears that Harry and Meghan kept to their promise of a low profile all weekend. They did not appear at the concert, nor did they have any significant sightings on Sunday. On Saturday, they celebrated Lilibet's first birthday by spending the day privately as a family. Some news outlets tried to stir the pot with headlines asking why none of the other royals attended the birthday party. The answer was, of course, that there was a rather large concert they needed to attend. It was the Queen's Jubilee, after all. And while the staff of Palace Intrigue was not there to hear for ourselves, multiple reports had suggested Harry and Meghan were greeted on Thursday with cheers. However, in the New York Post, Maureen Callahan writes under the headline, "Harry and Meghan finally got what they deserve, a chorus of royally loud boos." Callahan writes, "Finally, Harry and Meghan got what they deserve, boos. That smug smile at long last has been wiped off Meghan's face. Actual tears, not her usual crocodile variety, welled up. She was visibly unnerved. Turns out the royals know a bit about mental health and manipulators themselves because they've deployed the only tactic that works, the grey rock. It's like dealing with toddlers having tantrums. You just ignore, ignore, ignore until they tire themselves out. The royals have played the long game, brilliantly putting the Sussexes in a no-win situation. Decline their invite and look mean, petty and vengeful, slighting the ailing queen on her historic jubilee. Accept and get the coldest of shoulders before an audience of billions. How gratifying to see H&M shuffled off to the cheap seats in the second row, across the aisle from Charles and Camilla, William and Kate, none of whom cast a glance their way. How elegantly the BRF has slid in the knife. No official portraits of the Queen, no appearance on the balcony, no access to any royals of consequence in public." And so, with the Jubilee behind us, it appears the news cycles will return to their norms. Harry and Meghan always scheming, Kate nothing but wonderful, William and Charles waiting their turns, Andrew having COVID and whatever other shenanigans come up, and we are overdue for an essay from Piers Morgan. And there you have it. If you'd like to email us, our address is thepalaceintrigue@gmail.com. Please follow us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your favorite shows. I'm Mark Francis. My thanks to John McDermott. This is Palace Intrigue. Good times.